Tēnā koutou katoa. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship this morning. Welcome to any visitors who are joining us this morning as well. Thank you to Nicola for leading our worship and Vivian for leading our music this morning. Just going to start with our safety briefing. In case of a fire, should the fire alarm sound, walk out quickly through the exit doors to the assembly point in the car park. Please don't assume it is a drill. Call 111 and report the location and type of the emergency. Remain at the assembly point until instructed otherwise. Do not get into your car and drive, as there will be people assembled in the car park, and do not block any fire exit areas. In case of an earthquake, drop cover and hold on, and evacuate the building once the shaking has stopped. In case of a large earthquake, expect a tsunami, and please proceed immediately to the Pukiahu National War Memorial Park at the top of Taranaki Street. Do not stop to grab your belongings. For children's safety, please keep an eye on your children. Parents are responsible for the safety of their children, and children must be supervised by an adult at all times.
Namahi nui kia koutou, kua tai mai kei tēnei whare karakia. Haere mai e te whānau, haere mai e te manuhiri. Welcome to worship this morning, and welcome Anne Grounds, and Charlene. Anne is here from Auckland visiting with Charlene. Wow, last night apparently was very good. So please make yourself welcome to Anne and Charlene. And there are some other faces that I don't recall having seen before. So welcome everyone. Gregory, it's nice to see you here. I hope Elizabeth is feeling better. Unfortunately, Elizabeth has broken her leg, so she's okay. Kneecap, sorry. So we think about Elizabeth in our prayers this morning. We come into this place of celebration, come in bringing of who you are. Let us come together in the presence of God and in the presence of each other. God is here, we are here, so let us celebrate. In our call to worship, please respond with the parts that are in bold print. Creating God, by your word you bring all things into being. In Christ you have spoken your love to us. Holy Spirit, your word unfolds in us and gives light. And our first hymn this morning, here to celebrate God's loving.
Out
Let us now light our candle. And Franz is going to light the candle for us this morning. We light our candles in solidarity with those who do not have the freedom to express their concern or celebration for the fear of discrimination or condemnation. And Ki ngoi tātou, let us pray. Patient God, you persevere in your care for us. In spite of our lack of persistence, lack of praying at all times, merge our inner spirits with your will. Teach us again and again to pray always through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104. Could you go to the next slide? No. It's a cloudy meditation. I woke up this morning and I looked at the sky and thought, bother, there's no clouds. When I look at the clouds, the fluffy, thick, bright white clouds, I imagine falling backwards into that cotton wool castle in the sky and knowing safety never known before. Those clouds to me appear to be the arms of our Creator, Parent, Maker, gentle mystery that is sacred love. Falling thus back in trust into faith, into grace, is some splendid surrender to the paradox of wisdom, to giving in order to receive, to letting go in order to retain, to living when persecutors, tempters, oppressors would take away my life. Mocked though I may be by those without understanding, I will fall. I will seem the fool in dreaming of a castle in the clouds that catches me in my meditation, holds me in my resignation, emboldens me to love, though the certainties of fear may try to shake me. Amen. This morning for story time, I've bought some Bibles. And there are various sorts of Bibles. If anyone would like, I'll hold them up. Some of them I will hold up. There are a range of Bibles, and I've bought them because in the reading from Jeremiah today, it talks about having God in our hearts. And it's in our Bibles that we see a glimpse of what God might be. So I had a look and see what I had. The first Bible I want to hold up is this one. Now, this looks pretty riggedy and raggedy. It's well used. This is not my Bible. This is Peter's Bible. But this Bible belonged to Peter's great-grandmother and was then passed on to his grandmother and then to him. And you can see that it is well loved. There's pages falling out. It's very delicate, but it's well loved and it's well used. The second Bible I want to show you is one that was also given to Peter, this time by his auntie, and it's huge. It's really heavy, And it's a proper Bible, it's the King James Version. So it's full of things like thys and these and words that are hard to understand. And it was given to Peter by his auntie when he got the Queen's Service Medal. And it sits on the top of our bookcase. I think this is the first time I've had it down. Then the next one I want to show you is this one. It's called Inspire on the front. And Tawamiti. You might have like to have a look at this one. This one is a colouring in Bible. Who knew you could get a Bible that you can colour in? So when I looked at the reading for today from Luke, there's a picture. Tawamiti, would you like to colour it in? So Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. So let's find it. It's this page. And you'll be the first one to colour in my colouring in Bible. I have another Bible. I'm not sure what I've done with it. It's fallen out of my pocket. It's my phone. And in my phone, I have every imaginable translation that you can think of. So in this Bible, I have the reading this morning comes from the updated version of the Revised Standard Version. There's lots I can scroll down. I'm not even going to attempt to count them. But there's all sorts. There's the Young Literal Translation, the Message, which we use sometimes, the Catholic Bible, Modern English Version, the Living Bible, God's Word Translation. If you know a translation, it will be in here. I have these two. This one was given to me by my friend, Te Aroa, and it's all in Te Reo. And this one was given to me by my friend Johanna, and it is the Deaf Bible. It's very simple language, and the verses are quite short. And finally, I have this one, which is the Comic Book Bible. The thing about these Bibles is they all have some relationship to me. They have been either given to us by someone we love, they have been given as a gift of thanks, so they all have meaning for me. In the reading from our Hebrew scripture this morning from Jeremiah talks about our pact with God, our covenant. And what he's saying is, our pact is not a set of rules written down. It's what's in our hearts. In our Bibles, we hear and we see God in various ways. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not so good. In a moment, we're going to sing a hymn about our Bibles, God of the Bible. And just like the prayer we had before, it's a hymn that talks about God looking out for each other, a God of hope, a faithful God, a God who's always with us, even when we are suffering. Let's stand and sing, God of the Bible.
Thank you.
us examine our hearts and minds, acknowledging where we have lost direction and sold ourselves short. Let us pray. Maybe we have been too busy to notice deeds that are beautiful and good, or too preoccupied to say thank you or I love you. Lord, have mercy. Maybe we have been too stubborn to apologize for our mistakes, too proud to do inconspicuous tasks, or too independent to let others help us. Christ, have mercy. Maybe we have been too self-demanding to enjoy a task well done, though not perfectly, or too proudly humble to gracefully accept thanks from a friend or colleague. Lord, have mercy. Merciful God, Saviour and friend, forgive us for our obsessive busyness, for our pride, and for our overdone humility. Forgive us for hurts we have inflicted on others, and for the love we have denied them and ourselves. By the grace of Jesus Christ, restore us to the joy of salvation. Amen. Eho mark, God is neither too busy nor too proud, not too humble to say I love you. God is a sure and constant presence, never coercing commitment, but always inviting in. God holds before us priorities that emerge from the word. God enlightens us when our understandings are dim. God beckons us to embody belief in deed. God strengthens us in spirit and in truth. It is so we are loved by God. May we open ourselves to the seeds of wisdom that lie dormant in our readings.
Our Bible reading is taken from the book of Jeremiah 31, verses 27 to 34, individual retribution. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will nail the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of the one who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. A new covenant. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, For they shall all know me, for least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive them their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Luke 18, verses 1 to 8, parable of the widow and the unjust judge. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people in that city. There was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my accuser. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? It's the word of God. Amen.
Kia mate ururoa, ke mate whiki. Fight like a shark, don't give in like an octopus. This whakatauki is one of perseverance and determination. Tangaroa is one of the deities of the ocean. He and his offspring form all creatures of the seas. As people of the Pacific, Māori and Pacific Islanders in particular, they have been sustained by the ocean over generations. The sea is their pātaka kai, their food store, the supermarket of time gone by. And for many, it still is. Dr. Henimoa Elder, in her book of wisdom called Araha, says this is why Māori are so vigilant in resisting activities that compromise the vitality of the ocean and that connection with our ancestors and their practices. I think this whakatauki helps us bring some observations and lessons about determination that perhaps help us make sense of today's reading from Luke. When a shark is caught on a fishing line, it thrashes. It thrashes around furiously, trying to get away. And often the line does break and it swims away. However, when an octopus is caught on a fishing line, it goes limp. So this whakatauki is about sticking to your values and fighting for what is right. I mentioned this whakatauki because in today's gospel story, as we have just heard, Jesus continues to show he has a heart for those on the edge of society, and especially widows. So what if we read our parable today, the parable from Luke, with this whakatauki in mind? Let's look at the story again. An unjust or scumbag judge is non-violently nagged by a widow into giving justice without the benefit of his usual bribes.
I would not allow myself to be put off. I hounded him day and night. I watched his every move, where he went, with whom he mixed. I confronted him on every occasion I could, by the gate, in the judgment hall, anywhere. I was desperate. I had nothing to lose. And when they told me to be quiet, I shouted out all the louder, I was not going to be cheated out of my inheritance.
Kia mate uriroa, kei mate whiki. One of my commentaries written by Barbara Reed notes that there's no consensus among commentators and translators on which character is the focus of this parable. Is it that we need to be like the widow and persist in hope and prayer? Or should we focus on the judge? We know that Luke's Jesus encourages his followers to persist in praying. It's throughout the gospel. More than any of the other gospel writers, Luke has an emphasis on prayer. In Luke, Jesus' life is portrayed as an example for us when and how to pray. What if we focus on the judge? I have some problems if the focus is on the judge, because the judge, who neither fears God or respects human beings, is not acting according to the expected script. If a corrupt judge will give in when he tires of the widow's pleas, then surely a just, merciful, and loving God will be quicker to answer our prayers. Barbara Reed also raises a question about whether this parable is in fact a comic parable, a parable meant to make us laugh at the ludicrous picture of a powerful judge cowering before a helpless old widow. Current English translations of the Bible mask this, but a study of literal Greek, according to one of my commentators, suggests a possible reading. Hear what the corrupt judge says. Though I don't give a tinker's cuss for a god or man, just because this woman keeps getting up my nose, I will rule in her favour. Otherwise, she will give me ulcers and with her continual nagging. Despite all this, there's still something that worries me, that challenges me. Perhaps it is because of where I've been in the last week and what is happening in the week ahead. Last weekend, I was in Auckland. I was at a training workshop. The training was about accompanying survivors of sexual harm. This week, our General Secretary and our Vice President are appearing in front of the Royal Commission of Inquiry into Abuse and Care. Kia mate uriroa, kia mate whiki. So let's now consider the story from the widow's perspective. After all, a parable is supposed to turn our world upside down. Let's suppose the widow, a young widow, with her persistent and vigorous demands for justice, represents God. And let's also suppose that we are the unjust judge who neither fears God nor has respect for people. It seems to me this does turn everything upside down. It certainly is challenging. Imagine God as widow is after us as judge, continually calling us, continually asking us for something from us, continually challenging our lives. What then is this God-widow parable suggesting? Is it that God is found in the powerless, those looking for justice? God is on the side of those crying out for justice and who are not getting it. The God widow is persistent in her demands of us for compassionate justice. And when we tell her stories and live them out in practice, we behave in a God-like way. So maybe rather than this passage being about praying continually, it is about yearning for change. Bill Loder, in his commentary, notes, "It is our role to be with the hurting and not to collude with the alternatives. It means being in touch with all that makes people cry out in the world. It also means living with the affirmation of a God who cares, even though the solution does not come speedily." Last week, as I was arriving in Auckland for my workshop, I received a text from Heather Garside. In her text, Heather said, or she noted an article about the increase in violence in the Taranaki Street, Courtney Place area, and asked what we can do as a church in working with other agencies to make our city safe. It's a good question, but it's also a question we need to think very carefully about, because it implies that we need to examine ourselves, our theology, our language, our responses, and our lives. According to the Royal Commission, more than 250,000 people have suffered abuse from clergy and church people. 250,000. The churches, including ours, have acted to protect the abusers rather than stand alongside those who suffered harm. The Royal Commission noted that our apologies do not seem to be sincere. They did not genuinely acknowledge the harm caused, or we did not believe that the offending occurred at all. This week in the media, it was reported that historically faith-based processes have done nothing to reduce or resolve barriers to survivors disclosing abuse and seeking accountability and redress. When abuse has been disclosed, churches have often responded with disbelief and acted to protect their own reputations and interest. It also went on and said religious ministry was perceived as being close to God and therefore not able to do wrong. The testimonies of victims and survivors who experienced harm while in the care of the churches reveal that we have not been places of welcome and safety. We have not been places of good news. The church has been the scumbag judge. We have not seen God in the widow. So rather than talk about persistence in prayer, let's remind ourselves that anger is sometimes necessary and healthy. It helps to protect people by reinforcing their own belief that they are worthy of justice, vindication, and respect. Kia mate ururoa, kia mate whiki. When a shark is caught on a fishing line, it thrashes around furiously. Often the line breaks and it swims away. However, when an octopus is caught on a line, it goes limp. Going back to Heather's question, how do we ensure we are not the octopus, but rather the shark? Marcus Bork, in his book, The Heart of Christianity, Discovering a Life of Faith, So it's finding a glint of God in the grey areas of our various worlds demands is a way of affirming our Christian practice. Walking with God, becoming kind, and doing justice. When we see the widow as the God-like figure, then the message of this parable is that when a person doggedly resists injustice, faces it, names it, and denounces it until right is achieved, they are acting as God does. God's nature is constantly yearning for change. God is always in our face, begging, pleading, cajoling, holding us to do justice, to love tenderly, and to walk humbly. Let us ensure that we are building a supportive community, a community where people are safe, a community where people do not lose heart, where we do stand up for justice, where we can all live in hope and with a sense of trust that does not make anyone feel we have to or they have to carry the whole world on their shoulders. Amen. This morning, after service, I will print out a sheet of free support services if anyone who comes into our buildings need those. They will be on the notice board. In response to the word reflected on, let us join together in a celebration of faith. Please stand if you're able. God of all living, we have seen your presence in the rhythm and surprise of our years. We recognize your closeness in this day. Now we look to you and the promises which stretch before us. We join now in singing a new hymn, God, you hear our weary praying. Thank you. Let's share the peace with one another. Let's greet each other saying, God's peace be with you.
Just like to draw your attention to the green pages in your bulletin. I'll just read through our notices for this morning. Upcoming rosters, so we have rosters for the next two Sundays coming up. Please note the 30th is a cafe church. We have a few meetings coming up in the next few weeks. Leaders meeting is on Tuesday this coming week at 7 p.m. Finance and resources on Wednesday via Zoom, and parish council on the 27th of October. On the other side there, we have a few events coming up. The next midweek lunch will be held on the 26th of October in the new hall. Everyone is welcome, and please bring a plate. The 10 plus youth group are meeting today for a scavenger hunt, so please be at the church at 4:30 p.m. for that. Bring your phone to take pictures, and in case you need help, remind me for something to eat at McDonald's afterwards. Please feel free to invite any friends. Anyone over 10 is welcome to join. Several other events there. There's Pablo's auction there, which is held at the National Library, Te Puna Mātauranga, on the 23rd of November. We have the Vincent's annual group exhibition, which is from the 9th of October till the 9th of November, up at the Vincent's Gallery on Willis Street. The Wellington District MWF Gathering will be held in Waikanae on the Tuesday the 15th of November. The parish office has free RAT tests and face masks if you need any of those. There's the funeral for Kathleen Forsey. Some of you will remember Kathleen and her husband, who were members of this congregation. Kathleen passed away at 101 earlier this week. She hasn't attended church for some time. However, there'll be a celebration of her life here. It will be held on Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. So we offer in our love and prayers to Kathleen's family as they gather from around the world to remember her life, to share memories and say their goodbyes. Note about Drama Christie's anniversary, which is coming up quite soon. If you haven't made a booking to come and see the awesome play they're working on called Back and Beyond, then please do that. It's going to be a great, great production. Sunday 6th of November is the service of thanksgiving and celebration for Drama Christie and their contribution to our worship and fellowship. So we'll be so please join us for that, and there'll be a fellowship following the service, so please bring a plate to contribute to our hospitality for that service. Please contact Daphne if you have any other questions or concerns about that. We have a lost bracelet that was handed into the office, so if that's yours, please contact them. Any other notices people would like to share this morning? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Hugh. There's a few people who are not here because they have COVID. Wendy Conwell has COVID, as does Bill and Philippa. So please, if you are worried, wear a mask, and we do have masks and RAT tests in the office if you are concerned. Let us pray. God of justice, you have called your prophets throughout the ages to persist in proclamation in the face of callousness and to be resilient in faith, confronting stupidity. We pray for those who have refused to be silent before injustice, who have been repeatedly turned away but are not discouraged, whose outrageous faith has caused the mighty to tremble, whose stubborn humour gives their allies heart. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We pray for those whose efforts in the cause of justice have left them damaged or bitter, who are repudiated by those they struggle for, who have lost all hope of remedy, and whose voice is not heard. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of God, as the waters cover the sea. We pray for those who have the power to do good and will not, who attend to no voice but their own, who dismiss the causes of oppression and ignore the plight of the powerless. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of God, as the waters cover the sea. We pray together. E tu mātō mātua e te rangi, kia tapu tō ingoa, kia tai mai tō rangatiratanga, kia metia tō e pai ai, kia runga e te whenua, kia rite anō ki tō te rangi. Hō mai kia mātou ai nei he tārou mā mātou mō tēnei rā. Mūrua o mātou hāra, me mātou hoki i muri nei, i o te hunga e hāra ana kia mātou. Aua hoki mātou e kāwea kia whakawaia, ngāre e whakaorangi a mātou e te kino. No hoki te rangatiratanga, te kaha, me te karoria, aki, aki, aki. Amene. And we receive our offerings. Gracious God, we give you these gifts as symbols of our lives. Receive them with love, bless them with grace, and use them according to your will. Help us to listen for your voice, to hear your cry for justice, to discern your word, and to humbly follow for the sake of the healing of the world, in the name and in the spirit of Christ. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is These Hills.
Thank you.
time has now come for us to leave this place. As we do, may we embrace the challenges of our lives and our world. Franz or Tamamiti, would you like to come and extinguish the candle, please? He's very busy doing things. We receive fragments of holiness, glimpses of eternity, brief moments of insight. Let us gather them up, for the precious gifts they are, and renewed by their grace, move boldly into the unknown. Go now in peace and celebrate the presentness of God in your lives. Kia koutou, kia tātou katoa. Te ata whai o tō tātou ariki o ihu karaiti, me te araha o te atua, me te whiwhinga tahitanga, ki te wairua tapu. Amen.